China and America play nice. Well, maybe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Cyber spying and Edward Snowden got most of the attention at high-level U.S.-China talks this week, but also important, a move to allow more American investment in China, something the government there makes pretty hard to do. Chinese firms will also get new opportunity in America. Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz joins us from Shanghai. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Mark.
So what do American businesses get out of this deal?
Well, U.S. businesses have been pushing for a treaty like this for years, so this is a great sign. As it stands, you know, doing business in China can be very difficult or just downright impossible for industries like aviation or internet companies, high tech, you know, you name it. Because in each of these sectors, China's allowed its own state-owned companies to dominate or even eclipse any competition. So a treaty that would allow U.S. companies to come into the world's second largest economy and compete on a more level playing field would be fabulous news for U.S. companies and the U.S. economy.
Now, what about China and its industries? What are they looking for, hoping for in this negotiation?
Yeah, I think there's a couple reasons they're interested in this. You know, China's new president, Xi Jinping, is eager to make broad reforms to China's economy that would help boost the private sector. And that would include allowing more foreign companies to come in, compete, and by default, help make Chinese companies more competitive. The other reason China's interested in this is because in recent years, too many Chinese companies who have wanted to enter into the U.S. market have been flatly rejected by the U.S. Congress for a variety of reasons. And this is starting to hurt because for the first time ever, China's got a bunch of companies that are quite competitive globally. So right now, the Congressional Committee on Foreign Investment is taking a look at a $5 billion bid by a Chinese company for American pork producer Smithfield Foods, potentially China's biggest takeover of a U.S. company. China would love to see more deals like that get approval.
Okay, Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly up in global trading. European markets are rising. Asian shares were mixed. Japan good, not Japan mostly bad. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P was up 1.4%. The Dow closed up 1.1% at 15,460.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Time to talk U.S. border security, but not the border you're thinking. The U.S.-Canada line is the longest international border on Earth, but the American security budget for it is a sliver of the billions it spends along Mexico. Some in American states bordering Canada want to see that change, and they're expected to give U.S. senators an earful when a delegation visits Montana. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Line up the northern Border Patrol agents in one line and all the southern ones in another. Edward Alden with the Council on Foreign Relations says it's not even close.
There are 18,500 on the border with Mexico and just over 2,200 on the border with Canada.
Why the disparity?
It's just straight economics.
Alden says agents made 330,000 arrests on the Mexican border last year, only 13,000 in the north.
The big thing that drives people that come illegally to the United States is a chance of making a lot more money. You know, if you're an average person coming from Mexico, you can increase your wage three or four times. That's not true, obviously, coming from Canada.
If the Senate has its way, the gap in resources may only grow. Bloomberg government analyst Matthew Hummer says the southern border would likely take the lion's share of the nearly $50 billion in added security spending in the Senate immigration bill.
A lot of that would go to defense contractors and providers of different technology and surveillance equipment.
Hummer says it makes sense. You put your resources where you get the most for your money. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
This Sunday is Bastille Day, the symbolic start of the French Revolution. It's kind of like France's 4th of July, but with the French economy struggling, we wanted to see how that's impacting celebrations. For Marketplace, Christopher Wirth reports from Paris.
The French Revolution came at a time of economic crisis and famine. This number, the French national anthem, was penned just before the execution of the Queen, Marie Antoinette, who, legend has it, said of the hungry peasants, "Let them eat cake." But how much cake can the French afford today as they weather the Eurozone debt crisis and the country's second recession in 4 years?
Cakes, tart.
Hélène Persson sells cake at this Parisian bakery at another time of upheaval. But Persson says that doesn't mean the French are buying less flan and tartatin.
People like eating. Everything is okay.
Despite the economic woes, you won't find the same despair in France as many other Eurozone countries. Dominique Barbet is senior economist with the French bank BNP Paribas.
It's definitely not like in Italy or Spain when you have terrible recessions. So people in France know that.
Instead, he says people just worry that the old French model of generous social welfare spending is over. The French government spends more than any other developed country on things like healthcare, pensions and childcare.
It has become too expensive and we can't finance it anymore.
And there's a bigger concern. Unemployment in France is at 11%.
It's so difficult to find a job.
I met job seeker Mehdi Moujan outside this unemployment office in Paris. He says the jobs that are available are short-term and low-pay, but he does have an upbeat message for those lucky enough to have work.
Maybe it's not...
You may not get paid high, but you have a job, so be happy.
Call it blind optimism, but it all brings to mind another song from the French Revolution. 200 years ago, revolutionary soldiers sang Ça ira, literally translated to "It'll be fine." Good times will come, the lyrics go. The French always shall win. In Paris, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, after all the high-tech snooping revelations lately, Russia is going retro to keep secrets. A Russian paper reports the government recently placed a big order for a whole lot of typewriters. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.